It's so good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord, that we can share in the Word of God on another beautiful day that He has made. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful that I can rejoice in this day. Amen. I join you, Reverend Moore, if I have to rejoice and praise Him by myself. It's well worth it. Amen. 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 We were on a couple of weeks or some Bible class or so ago, and someone commented and just said, "Pastor, I'll be glad when we can really, truly just come to the house of God and just really worship Him." Amen. Amen. That we can just forget about our status and positions and titles and who we are in the neighborhood and in the community and what we've been to folk and all of that kind of stuff, and just lay that stuff aside and really just worship and praise God for who He is, not for being a stuffing given God. Amen. 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 But, you know, that comes through maturation. Amen. Spiritual maturation, that is. Amen. 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 Today, I won't be long, but I want to use the youth theme. I was called and asked, well, Pastor, if you could, however the Lord may lead you, would you mind using our VBS theme for Youth Sunday today? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And hopefully I'm going to try and do my best that it will impact us today and not impress us. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. So much to extract from this particular passage of scripture, and I couldn't extract at all, so give me a few minutes. And I indeed mean a few minutes. And we will be done. Amen. I want to say before I get started to those of you that challenged me on yesterday, amen. I was very prophetic. And those things that I said unto thee, that I would never come in last place, amen. I wasn't born to be last, amen. I didn't come first place, but I didn't come last. Amen. That's to my Uno crowd. Amen. Everybody got at the table. They wanted to challenge Big Daddy. Amen. Amen. But they didn't know I knew how to get down there too. Amen. But I told them we couldn't play spade. I only played spade because when you got through playing spade, every hand you lose, you had to drink a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. So they were gonna take me back. So I couldn't play spade with them. Amen. 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 But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Amen. So I truly was blessed by our youth on yesterday and all our parents, adults that were there. We had a blast. Amen. 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 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 3 reads, it says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Peter says, he says, how it is obtained? Through the knowledge of Him, and that Him being Jesus Christ, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to use our theme, VBS theme, which simply says, game on, gearing up for life's big game. Amen. Game on, gearing up for life's big game. To God who is our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, and his absence, let us keep him lifted up in prayer as he's on assignment. To our officers and mothers, to our ushers, our youth on today. Amen. This awesome and magnificent choir. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. God bless you. And to all of our Father's children that are present, whether you be visitor or friend or member, it is just good for us to be here on today. Amen. Everybody loves the excitement of a big game. As a matter of fact, we get so excited about the game that we start weeks and months in advance preparing for it. Amen. Amen. I know we do because I do that whenever the Cowboys are playing. Amen. So I know I'm telling the truth. Whether they winning or losing, I make some pre-preparation. Amen. And you got to be a fan to get invited to my house. Amen. And the only reason my wife is there because we married. Amen. We get our guest list together. And we start stocking up on the food and storing it in our freezer as we catch it on sale. And we even buy up the beer and the wine. Amen. You may well say amen. I told you, all of us may be saved, but some of us still got some drinking problems. Amen. You're still smoking. Amen. Ain't talking about cigarettes either. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we'll buy up the beer and the wine. Because that helps us to talk even more smack. Amen. And as the days wind down to the big game, we'll often remind our guests to make sure that they'll be there. Yeah, when they say, yeah, I'm coming, we clean up around the house. Manicure the yard. Make sure the grill is clean and ready and the wood chips and the charcoals are right. We clean out the cooler so we make sure we can put the brewski on ice that it'll be cold. Amen. Because nobody want to run to Walmart once the game starts. Amen. But it never ceases to amaze me that there is another game, which I think is real big and is a big deal to me, called eternal life. That the believers never take the time to invite a friend, family, or foe to partake of. Amen. Yeah, we'll invite them to join the big game of the church, but not to join the game of eternal life. Yeah, that went over our head then, didn't it? See, it's easy to invite folks to the church game because all you have to do is to look religious, you know, dress like your own Towers Bank Next Top Model, you know, get you a church title, join you a super pride, you know, that's the cliques, amen. Yeah, so you can learn how to become territorial and controlling and domineering, dictating, bossy, terrorizing, bullying, and over-assertive, and you can become the head Negro in charge. It's easy to do that. Yeah, but to invite someone to join the game of eternal life, yeah, you're inviting them to connect, to discover, and engage with a person. Yeah, Jesus is a person.
Yeah, the game of salvation is not focused on your church building or what position you hold and how long you've been holding it, how long you've been doing Sunday school, where you came from, or how much you give, or the name of the church, but it focuses on relationship. And it's a relationship that we enter into with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And if there is any game in life that you need to get geared up for, it's a game of salvation, which is offered through the Son of God, and his name is Jesus. If there is anyone that can meet the desperate need of man, Jesus can. If there is anyone that can meet the desolate, deplorable, and dreadful condition of man, Jesus can do it. Man, my brothers and sisters, can have no life without him. Fact about it, there is no life without him, because John recorded it in chapter 1 and 4. He says, in him was life, and that life is the light of men. So then this book of 2 Peter is different from the first letter that Peter penned. Here, Peter addresses the saints to beware of false teachers that was trying to confuse them about salvation. In 1 Peter, his letter was to those suffering saints that would face some difficult days ahead. But here, this book was written for the purpose of exposing and thwarting and defeating the invasion of false teachers among the church. And what I want to examine just for a few moments from this text, if you will, things that are necessary to gear up for, or things that is needed to make some arrangement for life's big game called salvation. First of all, in this text then, that we find that the first thing we got to make arrangements for is to experience life through his divine power. One cannot rather have life except it be supplied by Christ himself. It is the exercising of one's faith is the beginning of this journey of entering life's big game. Peter points out to us that this life that we receive from God is not through our own doing, but it is supplied from that which belongs to the nature or status of deity. It is supplied rather than through that which is holy. It is from that which is supernatural without any human effort involved at all. This life, Peter helps us to see, given us through Christ's divine power, causes us to be independent of external circumstances and from what outside sources may provide. And then that's many of our problem. We trying to enter into eternal life through outside sources. But baby, this thing don't start from the outside in. It starts from the inside out. Amen. In other words, what he gives you supernaturally, it uproots some sign you thought you perceived. Yeah, it dislodges the fact that you saw the moon change. Yeah, it removes those feelings and goosebumps you felt. It eradicates you thinking positive and meditating. When he gives us eternal life, he gives it more abundantly. And it don't have anything to do with outside sources. There is no such thing, as some believers may think, that God is tight-fisted in dispersing his grace. No, God is not stingy like us. See, God doesn't give us justification and not enough sanctification. He doesn't give us justification and sanctification, but not enough glorification, which leaves some in fear that they'll lose their salvation. Yeah, it saddens me that when I meet saints along the way, they think that they don't have enough of what God has provided and they can lose their salvation. Now let me pause and say this, baby, you either saved or lost. Ain't no in between. And see, God is sufficient in grace to supply us with whatever we need to handle this life, regardless of what it is. Yeah, you just need to have your head and mind in the game. Amen. Because whatever spiritual sufficiency believers have is not because of any power they possess in themselves, but it derives from divine power. That's what the text says. Paul expressed it this way. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Yeah, that's in Ephesians 3 and 20. In other words, the power that operates in believers is of the same divine nature as that which resurrected Christ. It's the same power. That power enables saints to be effective in the game and to do works that please and glorify God and accomplish spiritual things that they cannot even imagine. So first of all, the text lets us know then the first thing necessary is that we need to experience life through divine power. Yeah, I'm going to teach this today. Yeah, you ain't going to shout today. You're going to listen today. Secondly, what we need that's necessary is that you're going to need divine provision. Because we have salvation, this text lets us know that Christ is going to provide us with everything that we need to please him. Because he didn't design us to be men pleasers. And I'm so glad that I'm not a preacher that preached to please men. Amen. 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 Peter believed that the saints must put forth some effort in order to live acceptably. Yet he believed that everything needed for success in that tussle has been provided by Christ himself. Because you don't have any input when it comes to eternal life. Only thing you and I exercise is genuine, true faith in what God said about his son Christ. God then has put us into the royal family, like David did for Mephibosheth. You know the story. David gave him all that he needed so that he could live this new life as one of the king's son. And you know, Jonathan made a covenant one with another. And Jonathan said, now look, man, now I need you to dispatch some folks in my family, just paraphrasing. And because, he died off, his dad died off, but there remained one. And David kept his word. And his name was Mephibosheth. And David asked, is there any living remnant or kinfolks of the house of Saul? And they brought up Mephibosheth. And he brought him up and he sat him beside him at the king's table. And David showed grace towards him. And likewise, my brothers and sisters, all I'm saying, when we respond to the invitation of the gospel, God places us into the royal family of heaven so that we can become sons and daughters to live a godly life for him. See, we don't live our life to try to impress others. This life, a big game, is not to be lived and you strutting your stuff just because you belong to a church. You better know you belong to Christ. Because it don't make no difference whether I'm on New Jerusalem roll or not. You better be covered and washed in the blood, baby. That's what you better be. Yeah. And Peter, watch this, qualifies that we can live life in a godly manner by saying, he hath given us all things. Or in other words, that phrase all things means everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Watch this. The key here is in the words all things. He said he's given us all things. Everything. The reason we get distracted from the game and get sidelined is because we refuse to live sanctified. I don't hear nobody now. Well, you know, we ain't sanctified. We Baptist folk. That's to them sanctified folk down there. That's to them folk that do all that dancing and jumping and running around. Can I tell you again? If you ain't sanctified, you lost. You ain't saved, baby. You on your way to hell when you die. And if you ain't sanctified, if you ain't proclaiming sanctification, you lost. And on your way to hell. Amen. This is what life and godliness describe about the Christian, is we are to live unto sanctification. And that's what we don't want to do. See, we want to be saved and live like hell. Yeah, we want to be saved and say what we want to say and do what we want to do and go where we want to go. But baby, that ain't sanctification. Sanctification is a life of godliness. Look. There is nothing missing in the sanctification process after salvation except our willingness to live right and our availability to God. Preach, Myron Holmes. The text says, the believer have received all things. It didn't say some things. We done received all things. Watch this. In the form of divine power necessary to equip us for sanctification. In other words, what he's saying, he said, we have no lack at all. We have all things. And see, and we struggle with living holy or sanctified because of our many failures we experience. And this could be the cause why some of us are unable to dress out when it's game time. Yeah. We're on the team, but we're not in uniform. You got the game plan, but you don't know how to execute it. You on the floor doing shoot arounds, but you don't get in the game. Yeah, because guess why? Because you're not on the same team as we are. You ain't living sanctified. God can't use you because your life is jacked up. Yeah, you saved, but your life jacked up. And that's why many of us come in questioning your salvation. That's why many of us come seeking second blessings. You know, that's why we come seeking spiritual baptisms and tongues and private revelations. You know, we're looking for self-crucifixion. Yeah, we're looking for a deeper life, as we call it. Demon binding and a combination of all those in an attempt to attain what is supposedly missing from their spiritual resources. Baby, ain't nothing missing. The text just said he's giving you all things. Can I get a witness from somebody that will at least know what the Bible is saying? All of this kind of pursuits come from sheer ignorance. And scripture twisting is at the root of all of this. And see, you won't believe me, but Creflo ain't got to do nothing to say it, but say it. And ooh, you know I heard Creflo said that. The Lord hold all of us responsible to obey his command and not anyone else. You responsible. And believers, we can't claim that our sins and failures are a result of God's limited provision. Because our God don't have no limits. No, my friend, he's never deficient in anything. If you need more power, you ain't doing but tell him what you want. You want salvation? Tell him what you want. You need love? Tell him what you want. You want joy? Tell him what you want. Amen. The great power that gave us spiritual life will sustain that life in all its fullness. We have no power of our own self to live life to serve him. And so then we have no power of our own to live a life of godliness. Only when we have prepared to get in the game can you be supplied with power for life and godliness. My brothers and sisters, without divine power, we don't know how to behave rightly. Without divine power, you don't know how to pray. Without divine power, you don't know how to render sacrifices of praise. Without divine power, we don't know how to reverence him in worship. Because the Christian life is a life that is lived by the power of God. It ain't got nothing to do with church power. Yeah, New Jerusalem power. Your grandmama and them, auntie and them power. No, it's by God's power. Yeah, the power is not bought, borrowed, or stolen. It is a gift that is given through the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Ooh, that's good preaching there, Myron. Through the power of God, all we need for life and godliness is granted us. Not only do we see in this text that provision, divine provision, is necessary, but lastly, we see in this text what is necessary for life big game is that you're going to need divine procurement. Peter says to us, lastly, that if you're going to get in life big game, you're going to have to acquire some knowledge about the game. It's in the text. See, everybody that's got knowledge to play the game don't mean they know how to coach the game. And there's some folk that call themselves coaching the game and don't know how to have knowledge of the game. You won't ever get on the field or the court or on the greens if you don't show the coaches that you have a great knowledge of the game. And that's what's wrong with believers. That's why we don't know how to go and introduce nobody to the one who have eternal life, because we don't have no knowledge of the game. Yeah, I wish I had some witnesses. Yeah, I'm like Terry Anderson today. Talk back to me if you can. You might dress out, but rarely will you play, because your thinking level is not up to par. See, some NFL players, they some great players, but they don't know how to think good. Their thinking are not sharp in the game. Yeah, coaches are always looking for playmakers. And God, like, look, God is looking for some playmakers. He ain't just looking for folk that know church rules. He's looking for playmakers. The text revealed to us that divine procurement is gained through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Yeah, you young folks, I hope y'all listen to me today. See, baby, it's one thing to get your diploma and your degrees, but you need to have some knowledge of him. I was blessed so yesterday, and my wife and I got home. I was blessed so to hear Mackenzie yesterday, and she just don't know how that blessed my heart to hear her stand and say, now I know how to approach and to understand the word of God and the things that I need to do to understand books of the Bible, because guess what? We have to know the setup. We have to know the culture and the grammar, all of these things, before you jump up and just let somebody read something to you. Baby, you blessed me yesterday, because you don't never find people that young that pay that much close attention. And you got folk that been in church all their life, baby, don't know how to do that. And that's a fact. Preach, Myron Holmes. I ain't never scared. I'm like my friend Joe Stone. I'm doing the best that I can today. The power to thrive and live in the game finds its beginning in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is in the text. This word in the Greek is epignosis, which suggests full knowledge or deep knowledge. It is not the same Greek word as gnosis, which means simply knowledge. It is knowledge, watch this, that is true and genuine. See, a lot of folk just got simply knowledge. They don't have a full knowledge of him. It comes through an intimate relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. The knowledge Peter was speaking of has reference to more than a superficial knowledge. Yeah, a lot of folk that talk that noise and be with all putting on these Christian airs, they just as superficial as they want to be. They ain't nothing. Look, they got a lot of head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. Know this Bible all up and down. But my question is to you, when have you ever followed through with anything it ever said? Yeah, I know. Talk back to me if you can today. Because this is not the kind of knowledge as Paul described about those in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 who he said have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul said, watch this, Paul said to those in Rome, you think you're in the game and on the team, but you're not. You fooling folk like you're deep, but you're not. All you have is an awareness of the game, but haven't had an experience by being in the game. Yeah. You know how to line up, how to get in your stance, and you look like a baller. But all that is your excitement to play. But when the ball is snapped, you're lost because you don't know coverages, and you don't know how to cover. Yeah, you can't make a tackle. Neither can you hit a wide open clutch shot because you don't know how to follow through. Ooh, Lord have mercy, Jesus. What are you saying? All I'm trying to say is that there are some folk who know this church stuff, church rules, church policies, church music, church devotion, church meeting, but they're still lost. There are some folk up in here, who know church attire, church prayers, church program, church chores, but not church ministry, church order, church cleanliness, church cliques, but they're still lost because they have a zeal and an awareness of God, but have not had an experiential encounter with him through Christ. Woo. That's hot. They have an intellectual knowledge of God, but not correct knowledge. They come practice religion faithfully, but without correct knowledge. That they're eager in their pursuit of God, but they miss him in their pursuit and therefore leave the game empty every week. Woo. Peter and Paul agree one with another that this is superficial knowledge. That's exactly what that is. Because guess what? I can't stand folk that get up in my face, can always be quoting these scriptures, but we don't want to live them out. I can't stand that. Amen. But folk always quick to size the preacher up, talking about what he ain't doing. What you doing? And I mean it just like I said it. What you doing? Amen. We can't keep on coming into the playing this game, y'all, and we ain't doing nothing. God's sick of that kind of stuff. And if God's sick of it, guess what? He said, you ought to dislike what I dislike. Peter says, give me a 2-week notice later on. Peter says, personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus is obviously the beginning point for the believer. It is. Why? Because it is God who called us into this life. Not you. No, none of us have no salvation to give nobody. In other words, God invited us to enter life's big game when we heard the gospel of Christ. Have anybody heard the gospel? Because when you hear the gospel, true, genuine faith comes. This call is a call that urges sinners to accept salvation. Not only, watch this, did he call us to life, but he also called us to glory and virtue. I'm wrapping up. I'm done right here. In other words, he has called us to reflect God's presence and his goodness towards others. I didn't get enough amens there, but I'm going to say that again. He has called us to reflect God's presence and his goodness towards others. And as believers, we can be some of the most low down. Yeah, we can be. I didn't say New Jerusalem. I said as believers. There's a lot of believers, folk that claiming to be believers, that we are the most low down towards people. We don't display the presence of God in no situation, neither his goodness. I used to hear a person say that the church ain't no Salvation Army. That God fixed it where every tub sit on his own bottom. That ain't scripture. That ain't scripture. He said the poor you have with you always. And he said one thing the church ought to do is take a care, especially those of the household of faith. In this game, we have been called, listen, to draw others into life big game. How about allowing them to see the beauty of his life in us as he, by his divine power, attract them to him? But see, you know, we be trying to attract folk to us. And don't let them come and be part of the church. The first thing we do, we grab them and try to get them on our team. Because, see, we building a super pride. That's for my National Geographic people. I got any of y'all in here. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, when you're building a super pride. And, see, when you build a super pride is that once you get so many folk, yeah, you can eat and devour a folk. Don't nobody stand a chance but you and your crew. Yeah, I'm a fan of National Geographic. Because it teaches me about how the church operates. And look, watch this. He gives us, he allows us to draw them to him by his divine power in such a way that they'll ask, what must I do to be saved? Well, my Christian brothers and sisters, as I conclude, I just want to tell you that if you're not in the game, you need to get back into the game. I'll leave you with this story. In the year of 1966, this is one of my favorite athletes ever. The late, great Muhammad Ali, better known then as Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., was stripped of his boxing title for refusing to go fight in the Vietnam War. And on June 20th in 1967, during the year that I was born, he was convicted of draft evasion, sentenced to 5 years in prison, fined $10,000, and banned from boxing for 3 years. In the year of 1970, they were still trying to appeal and hearing his case, and his case was turned over. And in 1971, he got his first championship fight against a smoking Joe Frazier, and which he lost when he came back. He had been out of fighting for some 3, 4, 5 years. And all I'm trying to say is that through all of this, Muhammad Ali didn't let these streams of life's events set him back. But instead, he bounced back to win the heavyweight title 3 times because he kept on gearing up for the big fight. Yeah, and all I'm saying, he's just like Jesus, who entered the fight game of his life, who faced a formidable and a fearsome opponent, one which humanity could not defeat on their own. But in a town called Bethlehem, there was born a savior of a virgin called Mary, who in his childhood was gearing up for life's biggest fight, which was to redeem mankind from their sin. That's why he was born. Who marched up the hill called Calvary. There he hung, bled, and died and was buried in a borrowed grave. But it wasn't over, church, because my Bible tells me even in the grave, they placed him on the IR list. Yeah, he was considered inactive while in the grave. But for 3 days in the grave, he was rehabbing, because the third day morning, he got up with resurrection power, and he got back in the game when he declared all power in heaven and in earth. He says, in my hand. And because he got up, we're able to get up for life big game. What are you going to do? Are you going to get in the game? I come to challenge you today, baby, get your game on. Like the rapper said, get your game on. 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 Are you going to get your game on? Or are you going to keep on walking around here like my cousin say, perpetrating like you all that, and you ain't eating a bag of chips? You just got a lot of head knowledge, but no hard knowledge. You need to get in the game. And if you hadn't got in the game of life, I want to invite you to get in. And I just shared it with you. And to get in the game of life, you got to receive God's Son, who's Jesus. And let me make it clear to you, my friend, you just can't receive God, because there's no God without Jesus. It comes as a package.